Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome back to Reflections. When we ended the first segment, I was barking on why we visited Iran in 2013, and reading from the article, in the case of Iran, one of the principal attractions was that of getting to know a culture and history that we knew vaguely as Persian. From basic questions as to how Iran is related to what we vaguely knew as the Persian Empire, to more complex questions of how this Persian Empire really evolved over time. And embarrassed to say, I knew very little about Iran. Who were its neighbors? What was its size? What was its population? It was, you know, other than this revolution taking place and the siege of the U.S. embassy and the problems with the CIA and bringing back the Shah and all, you know, nothing really with respect to what was happening and what the country was really like. And we had visited Egypt and Turkey and Morocco, and so we knew how different Muslim countries can be, and learning Iran and how it would differ religiously, historically and culturally, what, you know, seemed fascinating. So that was really, you know, the question marks and the reasons why we went there. And we certainly weren't disappointed with what we found and when we learned. Unique, you know, Iran is unique in the following regards. It claims to be the most continuous monarchy, with 2,500 years celebrated in the mid 70s with the Shah, and the word Shah is the in Farsi, the word for king. And you know, other than the Vatican, that's a long time, going way back to Cyrus before the birth of Christ, and the Suez Canal was built by them, and they had huge domination of the world. Persepolis was the center of the world at that time. In fact, we ended up liking a restaurant in New York, recommended by one of the participants in that tour. It's called Persepolis, and it's a theocracy with a secular, you know, elected parliamentary and executive leaders, but it has this level of the supreme leader. Makes the major decisions. So it has a democracy, but over it's a little like our Promesa board, you know. we can the legislature and our governor can do all kinds of things, but at the end, you know, if the fiscal board decides that it violates you know, the financial wherewithal of Puerto Rico, it doesn't go forward. And in that regard, the same thing happens with the Ayatollah. If it goes against the cultural and the spiritual underpinnings of Iran, it gets vetoed. It's a huge country. It's the size of Europe. And over 75 million people, and that you know, it's between Iraq and Afghanistan, and has Turkey and Pakistan, Armenia, and Turkmenistan, and Azerbaijan as neighbors. So, huge country with a lot of neighbors surrounding it. It's really varied, you know, in terms of has mountains with snow and lakes and streams and deserts, really varied in terms of its geography. And with that background, going back to Persian, they're very proud and we can say complicated people. But we found them to be one of the friendliest and the most hospitable that we have visited, you know, and you know, during our different travels around the world. It's complex because you have all this underpinning of controls with spiritual basis and in terms of gender, which we'll discuss shortly, we would call discrimination, and they was called, you know, it's as reasonable what the restrictions they have with respect to women and the regulations as to what they have to wear and where they have to go and this and that. We have two international airlines and have really good, you know, airports. They have good cellular coverage throughout and really very good roads. And it's a sophisticated country and with a complex history. I think the most important word that I keep on coming in with is they're very proud of their history and what they have achieved and where they are in the world. That's, you know, the overview. The Iranian dress code we get a little bit of fun on that. We were told, a couple of things. First of all, you in your passport, this has nothing to do with the dress code, but it just comes to mind. In your passport, you cannot have indications that you visited Israel. So either, you know, get a new passport. If you need to get a new passport, if what you have is your passport has an Israeli visit. I do not understand the hatred between these two countries, just like, you know, sometimes you don't understand the hatred between two persons, but it is what it is. But the dress code, as we all know, women have to cover up to their wrists, and down to their ankles, and their feet have to be, you know, with socks, and men, I don't think it's, I think it's more a custom than a law, but you don't see men in shorts and wear short sleeve shirts, although sometimes the long sleeves are rolled up a little bit. And you don't see people with ties very often, so there is a custom, both by regulations and law, as well as by just practice, that people just cover themselves, tremendously. When we were there in 2013, things had moderated quite a bit, and it was enjoyable to see the women kind of with the moño, they put the veils towards the end of their head and cover their neck, so their face and most of their head was open. It was kind of the neck and of course the dress down to the ankles, and you know, there weren't the arms weren't available, weren't bared, or nor were any of the legs and all. And it was in terms of how that goes. I remember there was this article I mentioned. We were on a trip and we saw this young couple and they were in a kind of walking over, you know, stepping on these stones, and he was holding her hands, and people are very modest and in public, so I'm sure it was just, you know, he was helping her out as so she was going across the stream, and fully dressed, both of them. I mean, you know, not no sandals, no, you know, it's just shocking to see that, you know. The one phenomena that in Iran is they have a lot of them are have operations to reduce the size of their nose, and it's a very kind of a prestigious operation, and you have no problem going out in public, you know, with bandages and all. It's a kind of, you know, showing off in that regard. There's a phrase in Iran, and there's a book on it that they gave to us, that they recommended to us before we went, called Taruf, it's kind of where you exaggerate your situation. And you don't expect people to really take you seriously. And there was a couple of stories, you know, with respect to that that was interesting. One of them was a story that this Iranian, they moved to London, and she had her silverware and to the persons that the English. Neighbors that came to have dinner with them, she was exaggerating how difficult it was to keep these silverware clean, and how they never used them, and it was just, you know, nothing that just didn't make sense having them, and she would, you know, love to get rid of them. And this was typical Taruf, you know, exaggeration. It wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. It was kind of like showing off, to the great surprise, the next day, the English couple sent somebody over to take care of, you know, the silverware that was kind of offered that she was dying to get rid of, you know, a really shock for this Iranian, because that wasn't, that supposedly the, and another situation where they were having dinner. And offered to interpret in typical Taruf, you know, to take care of the tab, and the people around said thank you, and wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. In Puerto Rico, we sort of do that a little bit. We say, you know, esta su casa, you know, come whenever you can and want, but you know. To a great extent, it's very hospitable, but we don't really expect people to come in at any time without, you know, letting us know that. Or when you have a nice tie or a nice dress, you say, a la orden, you know. If you want to take it, use it, you know, just ask for it. Again, you're not supposed to be taken seriously. So we have a little bit of Taruf in Puerto Rico, you know, along that line. And going back to the dress code and how it you know it one of the things that kind of stick, it was always interesting because there's this public way of doing things, and then in the homes themselves there's a privacy, and we understand a completely different world, and sure, it's true, because when we go to the marketplace, you see this very, very colorful and relatively sexy dresses and apparel you know, we were told that this is what, you know, when they have their own private parties and all that, you know, take place. So there's kind of like a two world. The same thing, there's, you know, no alcohol whatsoever. And I'm, you know, in the restaurants, near the hotels. As a tourist, there's no place that you can get any kind of alcohol, wine or beer. In fact, you know, when one of the great things was to get to taste all kinds of non-alcoholic beer throughout the different areas of Iran that we visited, but we understand, you know, you can see we understand we couldn't see it because that wasn't sold in publicly, but we're told that in the homes or the people you know had all kinds of alcohol, and it was common to have liquor in privacy. And one of the things there was the privacy of within the home was very, very kept. You know, the government would really honored the privacy. You know, for example, there was crackdowns in terms of the use of internet, and so satellite wasn't supposed to be used, and people would have their satellite. The government would take the satellite dishes away, and and then later on they would put another satellite dish, but they wouldn't go into the house and verify and do anything. So there is this the way of doing things kind of an interesting. We as tourists abided by by those rules, and my wife took a black overcoat, and of course that wasn't very practical, and little by little purchased lighter things, but made sure we covered the head and covered your neck and all, and we the males also were had long sleeve shirts and certainly no shorts and that kind of thing. You weren't really allowed to go out on your own throughout the streets. That was very things. Where you visited had to be in this group, and it was very restricted in that sense. The status of women in Iran is interesting because you have this dress code that we discussed, but. And then you have these restrictions. For example, they can't go to the soccer games, and they're in the public transportation. They sit in the back and have an entrance from the rear, and in the mosque they have a separate entrance, and with the children sit in a separate place. So there's this strange. Treatment, very restricted, and yet at the same time, women it's not co-ed, it's separate the sexes in terms of the educational system, but women, are in the profession, top doctors, top accountants, lawyers, completely practicing, these professions. At the highest level, and so you have this dichotomy of the restrictions. Yet, in terms of the economy, they're very much they have. So it's an interesting way world, but they're very proud. And I think putting that article and putting that visit. It's what I think like Ukraine. It's what I saw in Vietnam. This is my personal view. They're not going to be subjugated, and they're not going to give up their pride and their nationality very easily. It's going for a long haul, and only recovering. Confidence and respect in this diplomacy and via diplomacy, are we going to have really peace? That's unfortunately the way I see it. I hope I'm wrong. Okay, so that's my and then the second segment. That's my discussion on Iran. I hope you found it interesting. Could go on for quite a while, but when we come back, I want to go into first of all a little bit of. The sporting world, and then the third segment of my biography of my father. We'll be right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflection.